going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This hour is brought to you by not only the NFL draft, but AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The Score Midday Show.
Make it sexy.
The 2025 NFL draft is now officially open.
There's only so many guys who are difference makers, and that's why I know I blew Herb's mind when I said, Bears should just go ahead and just trade up and get Abdul Carter.
The New York Giants select Abdul Carter.
Would you rather have Abdul Carter or Ashton Jensen? Just on its face, without any other context.
The Las Vegas Raiders select Ashton Jensen.
The relative need on either side of the ball? Yeah, I'm probably still leaning offense.
Offensive line, defensive line, you can't have enough guys. And offensive line, it's more about depth because of injury. Defensive line, it's just because you need waves. Multiple waves of guys coming at you.
Cleveland Browns select Mason Graham. The New England Patriots select Will Campbell. The New Orleans Saints select Kelvin Banks Jr. So with the 10th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan.
There's no doubt Caleb played a large component into my decision. This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next.
The Score Midday Show. Middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I love that one of the greatest classical music pieces of all time was just utilized for the number 10 overall pick in the draft, who's a tight end.
You got to set it up.
The contrast is incredible.
You got to set it up.
Like, and also, the booing.
Before they even said Chicago Bears, they saw that logo on the screen and they said, we don't like them.
It's just hilarious because so many times the recipient of the negative press or the negative reaction in the rivalry doesn't care. But the people who care about them care way more. Bears are living rent-free in their heads. They should have beaten the Packers twice last year. But at least the upside was they got the 10th overall pick instead of something worse.
If they hadn't beaten the Packers twice, maybe Ben Johnson's not the head coach. Maybe they're not in the position they would have been in to draft Colston Loveland. They would have been in the teens somewhere.
Nah, Ben Johnson would have still been the head coach. There were other decisions that factored into that one.
You are right about that.
There were other factors that factored into that one.
You're right about that. Why have an X factor? We can just have all the factors.
Oh, my word.
Many, many benchmarks along the way, if you will.
Yeah, there were many, many things that led to what we saw yesterday, that's for sure.
Well, what I saw yesterday was a place that had way too many people. I was like, how are all these people in Green Bay?
Yeah.
How are they getting home?
There's a lot to get to. There really, really is. We are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Of course, we are happy to talk to you on this second day of the draft. As we get it going, we have our score video team. It is Jenna Duddleston, Connor O'Donnell, and Matt Anaya. You can go to twitch.tv/Chicago670 to the score to see us there. Feel free to comment. We do have the text line up and running, 312-644-6767. That number will be handy for you because we are hoping that the PDF version of Who's Your Guy will still be on our computers. So we're going to do Who's Your Guy at 11:25 to round out the week. That's your note there. We also have our producing crew, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer helping us out. And of course, we've got to talk about what happened with the draft. I think we got to start with the overall thoughts. You know, yes, we know a lot about what this offense looks like now when it comes to what we've seen. You know, and I think that that is important to note. We know a little bit more about Ben Johnson's offense. But when it comes to what we know about the draft overall, a lot of things happened that we perhaps suspected, but just weren't sure if a couple teams were going to zig when they were expected to zag. And that did not take place. You and I thought, for example, we said it last night on the draft show, that we thought that Kelvin Banks Jr. was going to be available for the Bears, and we were one pick too late. Saints end up taking him at 9, as you mentioned. The offensive linemen go early. Will Campbell, 4th overall to the Patriots. The Jets take Armon Membu. That, I think, was the wild card because we knew so much talk was surrounding the Jets and Tyler Warren. So as soon as I saw that, you know, I texted you guys, and I was like, uh-oh, he might be available.
I'm like I said, I'm shocked that there were two tight ends available at 10. I thought somebody was going to take either Colston Loveland, more likely Tyler Warren before them. But the problem I have with this draft, that's the wrong terminology. The concerning thing for me about this draft is, as a selfish person who wants to know what's what, I don't know what's what, even after today, because they weren't going to take the 4th tackle with the 10th pick. So it kind of landed in their lap to take a tight end. Now, I can clearly see Ben Johnson values Colston Loveland and his skills over Tyler Warren and his skills, who was taken 4 picks later by the Indianapolis Colts. So you learn a little bit about maybe who's running the draft, maybe not, but just the fact that, you know, obviously offense is prioritized and Ben Johnson's got a guy that he's going to love using based on what we know about Colston Loveland.
I mean, there it is, right? So we now know what this is going to look like a little bit better, but let's start with like the obvious here before we even get to Colston Loveland. I feel like after everything we went through watching the draft last year, trying to figure out what the Bears were going to do initially, then we all realized they're taking Caleb Williams somewhere around the combine. Like, that was a no-doubter. They were getting ready for Caleb Williams. There's so much hype. You see the scream. I feel like this year was the exact opposite. We're just like, and Cam Ward was drafted.
So, he was the number one overall pick, right, Cam Ward, by
yes.
the Titans?
Yeah, it's just like, Cam Ward, next up.
I cannot remember a quarterback being taken number one overall with his little fanfare as Cam Ward, and I was trying to figure out, why is this? Is it because he's not thought of as a guy with the highest of ceilings, as in franchise altering? Although I would argue if you draft anyone at number one overall, he's franchise altering in a good or a bad way, because good, he does his job. Bad, you've really set your franchise back by drafting a number one overall quarterback that can't play.
You know, that's the risk you take every time, right? And that's why we saw the quarterback piece of this that we thought was going to drive it change what we were seeing overall. I feel like everybody, including observers, had contingencies. Number one, this is the scenario that happens if Jaxon Dart, Cam Ward, and Shedeur Sanders were all off the board before you got to your pick, right?
Right.
There was that plan. Then there was the plan of, say, here's how we think the draft is going to go. And I feel like it did. Despite a little movement at the top with Jacksonville and Cleveland, I felt like it did follow those lines where you're saying, you know, here's how we think this is going to go. You knew Travis Hunter was going to go before the Bears had a pick. Not that that would have affected what they were doing, but that's a good example. You had an idea that Ashton Jeanty was going to go. So knowing those things and knowing who the usual suspects were that everybody talked about, you had that plan. And then you had the maybe, if somehow something changes, this is what we need and this is who's available. Number one, we see that the Bears draft for need. There was a job opening for somebody to stretch the seam, for somebody to be a slot type, for somebody to be in that part of the field. You know exactly what Colston Loveland does. And now you know exactly a little bit more. Well, I shouldn't say exactly, but I have a way better idea of how this offense is going to look.
Yeah, that part is undeniable based on, you know, we just heard in our open, tear it down to the studs. And you can argue that it's not going to be all the way down to the studs because this system's going to have two tight ends a lot of the time on the field, and that makes it look like. I don't know that I'm necessarily there yet with that. I think more evidence needs to be presented before I jump on that particular bandwagon. But I do know offense is important. They clearly have prioritized making the offense as good as possible with the best personnel. That should be interesting to see how that works out. The other thing is, from a defensive standpoint, now you're looking at day two a little differently from a Bears standpoint. The tight end is there. You still need offensive line help, a left tackle. You still need defensive line help, an edge. You still need a running back. You still need probably some secondary help. There's a lot of things that need to be addressed. I'm curious to see how they address those things at 39 and 41. But the other thing is, you talked about the three quarterbacks being taken before the 10th pick. The fact that only one was taken, that was really the difference maker in this, because if just one more quarterback is taken, then that shoves everybody down. Now we have a different type of decision to make, and it may have ended up in the same result, but Kelvin Banks Jr. is also available perhaps.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was the calculus that we were looking at. But also, like, for example, Kelvin Banks Jr. goes, and I'm reminded that the Saints every year for 7 years have drafted offensive or defensive line in the first round.
Call that consistency.
Correct. And it also tells you a lot about how they value those positions and how they want to lock people down with that premier pick. So I like the formula because I think it is successful. What the Saints have done cap-wise around all of this is absolutely chaotic and terrifying. But
malpractice comes to mind.
When it comes to this piece of it, you know, that makes sense. And other teams know that too. You know, for example, we talked a lot about when the Bears were putting this coaching staff together, how a lot of roads led back to Sean Payton, who famously previously was on the Saints. Perhaps that colors the front office's decision or knowledge, knowing that they might take line ahead of them. The concept of them taking a quarterback, regardless of what's going on with Derek Carr's health, you know, may not be the case. So I felt like that was, you know, institutional knowledge that you have some concept of. Abdul Carter going to the Giants, that shut a lot of people up about speculation. They absolutely took the best player available.
Shut me up, Layla, because I was like, maybe if you want to trade and give up one of those second round picks, if you can do it, do it. But then I saw what happened to get the second round pick. I was like, or the number two overall pick in Travis Hunter. I was like, okay, don't give up stuff like that. They're not in a position to give up stuff like that.
The Browns, if indeed Mason Graham was the target, boy, did they play that well.
Played it excellently, because
you get assets and you get your guy.
And you still, now your defense looks really, really, really good. And you can add to that throughout the rest of this draft because of the way the whether you want to call them pick swaps, whatever, because there were more parts to that trade. And then when Ashton Jeanty went off the board at 6, I was like, okay, don't have to worry about trading up for him anymore. Because that was my real concern. It's like, do not trade up for Ashton Jeanty. So overall, I look at day one for the Bears. I'm like, this was a successful day by my measurements.
I can't remember, though, a draft that was so telltale in what the decision-making process was. And I think it's because we all had the same pool of players that we knew was going at the top. This is where the details start to play in these second and third rounds. But I can't recall a draft where you're like, oh, clearly Pete Carroll wanted, you know, the functioning running back, like the star RB to rebuild the offense in Las Vegas. Oh, is that who he sees the Marshawn Lynch being and what you know he's bringing to the table? Same with the Bears. Oh, okay, Ben Johnson. We talk so much about tight ends. Clearly, this is what he wants us to look like. It's not stripping down to the studs. At this point, it might be replacing the wallpaper. If that's the case, I'm good with it. But either way, we have to see what happens in these next rounds. Looking at the rest of the draft, for example, you know, Cleveland takes a risk, trades down, catches Jacksonville. A good idea when you consider new head coach. You know, and you know that there's going to be some talent shuffle there. Now, are Jags fans happy about what they gave up to get Travis Hunter? That's a better question. You knew where Will Campbell was going to go, theoretically. You knew Armand. I think the biggest wild card was whether or not the Jets were going to go tight end. They decide they want to take an offensive tackle, best player available. Panthers take a receiver that Nate Tice, for example, was very bullish on. A lot of the in-the-know ball knowers, I feel like, really liked Hetero and McMillan. Saints go with the line, which they have done time and time again. That left the Bears with perhaps an obvious choice to make. The only difference was they took the guy that a lot of people think isn't the guy.
And so that's where the conversation begins, right? When you talk about Colston Loveland versus Tyler Warren, I feel like we've heard from so many different people about what it is and what it ain't, right? Because Tyler Warren was the guy for so long, and then last month or so, you start hearing mumblings of, well, you know, this other guy is just as good, if not better. And I was like, wait, what? And so I had people explaining to me on these very airwaves, and I was like, okay, that actually makes sense. I can get with that. And they obviously watch way more tape than I do, because I watch a couple of YouTube videos, and I'm like, okay, cool.
Who doesn't love a good YouTube video? And then there were some other surprises. The late picks were the surprises. It wasn't just Shedeur Sanders watching from his house in East Texas, trying to figure out where he's going to go.
Did you see his throne room, by the way?
Amazing. Just had it built for this.
Some would call it legendary.
Fair enough. Also, I was laughing because on ESPN, they were showing video of Emmitt Smith making the draft cop with Genty, size obviously being the big factor here. And who is he running past on the Falcons to the end zone in one of those videos?
Is it a guy
21?
Is it a guy with the name Sanders on his back? Is that what you're saying?
Does his name rhyme with primetime?
Yes.
I got a good kick out of that. The Giants? Okay, as it stands right now, the Giants quarterback room is as follows. We know what's going to happen personnel-wise. You can't carry four quarterbacks. It's Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, Tommy DeVito, and Jackson Dart.
To be a fly in the wall when an actual meeting is not going on and they're just shooting the crap, that would be amazing. What are they talking about? Who's leading that discussion?
I want the reality show yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, this needs to be the new Hard Knocks in season.
The Giants don't do reality shows
forget
anymore.
Forget even Joe Shane. No, make an exception for your quarterbacks. This is incredible.
They had a really bad experience the last time they let the reality TV cameras in. A really bad situation.
And we are going to talk so much draft, obviously, but I also want to bring this up right before we go. Man, if the Eagles don't do it again, taking advantage of Jahad Campbell going down in the draft, like falling, unfortunately, injuries an issue there. But from what they see and from, again, what a lot of people are talking about when it comes to his potential, every time that they take a risk on somebody, and even if it was just trading up one spot,
The fact that who they traded with, like, don't let Howie Roseman do this to you.
Hi, I know we beat you in the Super Bowl and all, but can we have that pick? Yeah, thanks.
Number one on the position board, pretty much all the way around, and now he's a Philadelphia Eagle, and you're looking at it like, the Eagles strike again.
Yeah, that was a little savvy pick right there. And then the Ravens getting Malachi Starks.
Yeah.
Makes sense, doesn't it? It's
on that team, absolutely.
The other piece of this, too, is the Steelers do not go quarterback, and they drafted a defensive tackle in Derek Harmon, which just makes it make less sense.
What did make sense is the Giants drafting back into the first round for a quarterback, but it wasn't the one that maybe you thought it was going to be, and now I'm just wondering, where will Shedeur Sanders end up?
That's it.
I have no idea. But somebody, he's going to at least have an extra large chip on his shoulder. Extra large.
I hate it. I hate it when so many people focus on one particular player and then stuff like this happens. I'll never forget when I was covering Texas and Colt McCoy ends up falling to the third round. And just the, what it does to an individual. You know, was it Brady Quinn who also, for Notre Dame,
he fell a long ways.
Yeah, and just the pain when you're watching them and feeling so bad for them when all this is going on, when it's supposed to be a happy moment. Man. So, coming up, we have more. In fact, John Jansen, Our first guest of the day here on the Score Midday Show. He's the host of Costa and Jansen with Heather on 97.1 The Ticket, but he's also, most importantly, the Michigan Wolverines Radio Network analyst. He'll tell us about Colston Loveland, what we can expect. Is there an injury concern? We discuss it all next on...
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
On the Score.
Deep ball. And caught. Play. Loveland again.
And he used all 6-5 of this to get 29 yards.
One. Wide open. Touchdown, Loveland. Touchdown. Colston Loveland is second of the game.
Warren's got a man, Loveland again, broke one tackle, posted Loveland down the sideline, all the way to the 19-yard line.
Hail, hail, Michigan. They are the champions of college football 2023.
That is a great way to bring in our guest. We go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. It is John Jansen, the host of Costa and Jansen with Heather on 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit, the Michigan Wolverines Radio Network analyst. Not a bad draft day for Michigan, despite not having the season they had before. And we're happy to have you on, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to hear from you guys and excited about what Michigan did in the draft yesterday. Obviously, three first-round picks. Still waiting on Will Johnson, but not really surprised that he's still sitting there. But I know you guys want to chat about Colston Loveland and the Bears, and I'll just start with this. He's going to be very productive on the field. He's going to be great. We'll talk more about that. But this is one of the best kids that I've been around at Michigan. He's a solid kid. He's a great family, great parents, and he's going to be great in the community. So I know the Chicago fans and the Chicago area, they got themselves a gem.
I don't know if you were watching the draft live last night, but if you were, what were your expectations at number 10? Did you think, A, the Bears were going to take a tight end, and did you think that Loveland would be the choice over Tyler Warren?
Well, I figured with Ashton Gentry off the board and the top couple of offensive linemen off the board that they were probably going to go tight end, and just because of Ben Johnson and the history that I know of him here in Detroit and the utilization of a tight end. I was actually a little surprised it was Colston. I thought Tyler Warren, because of the trick plays, not just on top of utilizing a vertical tight end, but I thought that he provided a little bit more of that to Ben Johnson's offense. But as a pass catcher, I think they got exactly what I expected. It was either going to be 10 or 14, and that's actually ended up, obviously you guys know, where Colston Loveland went at 10 and Tyler Warren at 14 to the Colts.
Well, I think you bring up a good point, John, when you talk about even as a college football observer, especially in the Big Ten, those two guys are in conference, Warren and Loveland. So, you know, you're watching the same tape we are. And for you to say that, having intricate knowledge of Colston Loveland, I think that says a lot about what a lot of people thought. You know, out of the two, if that's what you were going with, what was the best one? And I feel like the Bears definitely drafted based on need when you compare Loveland and Warren's skill sets.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Ben Johnson's offense. And we saw Sam Laporta, another, you know, obviously Big Ten tight end here in Detroit. He loves to be able to get the tight end down the middle. And, Colston was a little bit limited last year in Michigan's offense. That wasn't because of him. He was the number one receiver. He was the number one target. It was just simply because we didn't have a quarterback to get him the ball. And there was, you know, defenses just ganged up on him because we had no receivers that could get the ball. So if you go back to when J.J. McCarthy was the quarterback at Michigan, that national championship season, and you watch how Michigan utilized him in the offense, they loved to get him the ball down the middle. They loved his ability to get vertical. And on top of that, his ability to adjust his routes. You're not going to find a smarter tight end, a guy that's going to study the game. And we all know when you watch Travis Kelce, when you watch a lot of the best tight ends, they've got a great feel for the defense. And whether it's running through zones or sitting down in a pocket, they really find the way and they understand the feel of it. Sometimes it's more of a feel than it is actually, you know, the read of the defense. As long as you're on the same path or same page as that quarterback, and Colston does all of those things extremely well, and his catch radius. His ability, because he's got a nice wingspan, good concentration. He had a couple of fumbles early in the season last year, but throughout his career, he was as reliable as it got in regards to pass, you know, catching the ball, but also trusted with the ball in his hands.
Talking to John Jansen here on Score Middays, along with Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Jansen is the host of Costa and Jansen with Heather on 97.1 The Ticket. Also, Michigan Wolverines radio network analyst. So he's seen plenty of Colston Loveland. What strikes me about him is that he's so young, just turned 21 years old earlier this month. I'm curious as to what you think his detriment is as far as what can he improve on the most, and what are you excited to see him as far as growth goes?
Well, and I've talked to him a lot about this over his time here at Michigan. It was simply him being able to set the edge in the run game. And I know Cole Kmet is still there, and they'll rely on him to still do some things. But he needs to improve on pad level strength. And it's going to be the same thing really at any position. Guys coming out of college, they're going to have to get bigger, faster, stronger to be able to compete at the next level. He's well aware of that. Pad level in the run game, that's where it's going to be. And then obviously I talk about him being a student of the game. You're always going to have to be able to recognize defenses. They're much more complicated in the NFL. You've got to recognize blitzes at the line of scrimmage. So because it changes the route, everything post snap is going to change. Those are things he's going to have to continue to work on. But I think the number one thing going into rookie minicamp, going into OTAs, is he's going to have to work on pad level footwork, setting the edge in the run game.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. John, you're the best person to talk to, given that you've got the Ben Johnson Detroit knowledge and the Michigan knowledge. We were talking about how this may be the most definitive point we've had so far here in Chicago of understanding what this offense is going to look like under Ben Johnson. Like, you know exactly how he's fitting in. The Sam Laporta comps have already started. How do you now envision what you expect to see out of the Bears, knowing that this is a key pick that they had at 10?
Well, everybody knew, whether you're in the division or in the NFL, you watched Chicago over the last few years, whether it was Justin Fields or Caleb Williams, they were under duress, and they addressed the offensive line in free agency. They've done a tremendous job of that. You got maybe one of the best centers, if not the best center. You got Joe Tooney coming over at left. You address the Jonah Jackson at right guard, and obviously, you know, last year with the draft at the right tackle. I wouldn't be surprised to see them do something on the other side, the left tackle here in the second or third rounds. But with the Ben Johnson offense, the tight end is so important, and it will be the run game. We talked about that, but it opens up so much more of what Ben wants to be able to do. He wants to be able to attack at levels, and it's being able to go over the top. It's being able to hit those receivers like Amon-Ra St. Brown that we've got here in Detroit on some of those easy 12, 15-yard outs. But you've got to have a great threat in the middle of that offense with the tight end, and that's where they addressed it with Colston Loveland.
I wanted to ask you, because you do follow the Detroit Lions, obviously, how that vantage point is looking right now about Ben Johnson coming to Chicago and what that setup looks like and how that affects the entire division. Kind of one of those moves when you talk about the Lions losing both their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator. How does that, if at all, affect the pecking order in your mind of what this division could look like?
Well, I mean, for obviously with the Lions winning the division in the last 2 years, they understand what it takes, but they also understand that, you know, no one's going to remain the same. You've got J.J. McCarthy in the offense under Kevin O'Connell there in Minnesota. They're going to be a constant. They're always going to look to get better. And I don't think we can argue it. It's one of the best, if not the best, receiver in Justin Jefferson. T.J. Hockenson at tight end. These are some high-powered offenses, and you're going to have to score a lot of points in this division to win games. You're going to have to score a lot of points if you get to the playoffs and if you get to the Super Bowl and you're facing the Chiefs or the Bills. You're just going to have a high-powered offense, and you're going to have an offense that's not predictable. And really, until Sam Laporta came into this offense, if you go back, 3 years, it was an offense where they would take away the middle. You had no weapons, and they found ways to shut down Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, the Bears are doing what they've got to do. They're following the blueprint that they did here by building the offensive line, by and the defense in Chicago, that's kind of been one of those things that's been a constant. And it's, I know they addressed it in free agency. It's going to have to be that way because it's going to be a scoring and a shootout battle in this division.
Oh, absolutely, John. And I want to ask you one more thing about Loveland, because especially with your Michigan connections, you know, we know he had surgery in January to repair the AC joint in his right shoulder. So we're trying to figure out what his timeline is even going to be for training camp, you know, never mind the other stuff that comes before that. Yeah, how much do you think this is really affecting him? He missed, what, two games to end the season?
He did, and he missed, I think, the USC game earlier in the season. And then, you know, when they were out of it, finally it was a matter of, hey, let's get him healthy. Let's figure better things in his future. That's the way college football is right now. If you're not going to be in the college football playoffs, I'm no doctor. I had an AC joint when I was in college as well. Didn't require surgery. I would be surprised if he wasn't full go by training camp. And the thing about it, the NFL training camps, as we all know, they're so long. And, you know, even if he's not there the first week or the first 2 weeks, it's not going to matter. He's going to do all the work he needs to do to be mentally ready. It's just going to be a matter of he's going to be a guy that, and I think this of all rookies, you've got to be out there and you've got to feel the speed of the NFL. You got to feel the contact of the NFL. The violence is different than it is in college football. And I really hope that you know, Ben will actually give him a little taste in the preseason. He'll be ready. He's going to have to test out that shoulder, gain confidence himself. But I think he'll be ready to rock and roll.
John, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for giving us the perfect insight, both from the Lions and the Wolverine standpoint, to Colston Loveland.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, and I look forward to catching up with you guys again soon.
Same
thanks,
here. Yeah, John Jansen, the host of Costa and Jansen with Heather on 97.1 The Ticket, the Michigan Wolverines radio network analyst, joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Coming up next on the Midday Show with Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi, we will talk about the experts and what they think about Colston Loveland. We drill down a little bit more on how he fits into this Bears offense and what we think it might look like. So that's all next, coming up here on The Score.
My favorite pick of the draft so far is Colston Loveland.
Wow.
To the Chicago Bears. That offense, that coordinator, that quarterback, and then to also have Roma Dunze on one side, I love this. Oh, DJ Moore, I love this. Colston Loveland could be like, you know, one of those breakout rookie tight ends that we get every so often.
Hey, Chicago, can't wait to get started. Bear down, let's go.
I like it. It's simple, it's to the point. That was Colston Loveland, the Bears draft pick. And did you happen to see, Marshall, the decor of the room he was drafted in?
The one that looked like they had just gotten back from a big day out hunting?
It was like Central Casting, Idaho. Like, the Longhorns on the wall were what caught my eye, and then I realized the elk head was pretty amazing.
Double elk head.
Are they elk? Either way, those are multiple
elk, moose,
points
whatever.
On the deer head. Yeah, that's
something
that's
with
incredible.
Horns. Something with horns. It was interesting because I was like, first of all, there's not enough lighting in that room. And I realized, oh, this isn't for TV. This is them just hanging out watching the draft.
But that is an epic room. The ceiling's got to be like 15, 20 feet high.
So does everyone just have a hat for every single team? Because as I was looking around, I noticed everyone was ready. Like, with the hat of the team. So does everyone have all 32 teams' hat at their disposal when they're not on site? On site, it's easy because they got plenty of hats.
Right, you just pick the hat.
Yeah, they give you the hat on your way out.
Yeah.
I think everyone, Marshall, does have every hat, but only one person put out that baller display of hats and is still sitting to be selected.
Oh, man, don't do that.
Sorry.
Listen
Sorry,
here.
Shador.
Canton, Texas is East Texas. That's Van Zandt County, if you're curious. But the real point is there's tons of land. Like, when I say tons, I mean tons. So who knows what kind of compound they have. They probably have just, like, rooms for extra rooms. It's probably like a 7,000-square-foot house easily. So
what is he going to do with the rest of the hats, though? So he's, like, giving them out to friends?
That's what I was trying to figure out.
Oh, you like the Seahawks? Here's a hat.
Yeah, return policy if they're not worn.
Seahawks, they'd be fighting over that because it's Idaho. It's right...
right? Yeah. Nearby. That actually makes sense.
But you're not, if you're in the draft room for the guy, you're wearing his hat. You're not, they better be wearing Bears hats.
We're talking about at the end of the night, like, oh, we got to get rid of these hats.
But the family and your friends and family want to support you. They don't care about the other team.
At some point, it can just be a fashion decision. At some point, it can just be a fashion decision, right?
Like our buddy Bill Griggs, who always wore like the old school Jets and Spurs hats before they were cool.
His dad played for the Jets, so that's why he wore the Jets hat.
Fair enough, but he always made it look cool. This guy was ahead of the fashion by about 10 and a half years.
No, I think we were just behind. I can honestly say
it was
definitely
both. He was wearing the old school 90s Spurs hat before the 90s were back in.
I'm so fascinated with Colston Loveland because we just heard John Jansen kind of tell us what kind of guy he is.
Right.
He seems like a more quiet workman-like type. I shouldn't say the word workman. Yeah, it's too soon.
You're very sad about it.
It's too soon.
We'll pour one out for Gage Workman at 12:25.
But no, seriously, I'm interested to get to know him better just so I can understand what kind of personality we're adding into the mix.
The overwhelming impression I got was, oh, both tight ends are available, Warren and Loveland. Oh, they want Loveland. Okay, well, that tells me exactly who they want this offense to be. That tells me exactly who the personnel is. Loveland, also, because of what he does, you know, he's considered like a seam stretcher. You see how he can make plays in space as a catcher. Yeah, I feel like this is the guy who they want to function as the number three receiver.
Yes, and I think that was the point I was trying to make in transition. Like, that doesn't mean Cole Kmet just disappears.
I think David, so I said that Loveland, like, even though Loveland's on the team, Cole Kmet likely has more production than he did last year.
Yeah.
He has more targets than he did last year.
That's all I was saying. They acted like I was, oh my goodness, how could you disparage the number 10 overall pick?
Here's the issue I have with anything that happened with the Bears production last season as to how you see this all fitting together this year. They didn't even run enough plays. They're three and out on their first drive all the time. Like, there wasn't enough plays to go around to give people appropriate targets. They were too busy stalling drives. So, like, ideally, that's not happening this year. You're going to have more plays to run. You're going to have more targets. You're going to have just more overall to be able to get everybody involved. Like, tight end production is, you know, there was a year where Cole Kmet, before he signed that contract, was the Bears' leading receiver. And he was still only in the, like, 700, 800 yard department.
He wasn't out here putting up all pro numbers by any means. So
there's enough ball to go around.
I think there is now. I don't know that was the case last year in that particular offense run by that particular offensive coordinator.
And Lord, on the day of the 25th of April in 2025.
That's today.
Please let me talk about the day where we don't have enough ball for all the Bears. Please let me have that problem.
That is a great problem.
Amen.
To have. I want to hear from Colston Loveland, mainly because I just want to hear his voice.
How do you see yourself in this? Tell me the main character syndrome, Colston Loveland. Like, you are the center of attention right now.
I think Colston Loveland's got to be happy that he's with Ben Johnson because he saw, as a guy who was, you know, playing football in Michigan, at Michigan, right down the road from Detroit, the Lions, and where there was so much offensive success from Ben Johnson. He understands better than most what he's getting into, who would be in his position. Here is what he said about his impression of Ben Johnson.
What were your conversations like with Ben Johnson, and what was your excitement about the possibilities for you in that offense?
Yeah, like I said, we met at Pro Day, and just love the guy. Obviously, before I even met him, just watching Detroit last year, the things that they were doing, you know, just he's like, man, really smart, knows what he's doing, knows football. And, you know, finally being able to talk with him, meet with him, and kind of pick his brain. Number one fan of that guy for sure. He's legit. He's a stud, and I can't wait to be under that. I know he's going to put us in great positions, put Chicago in great positions to win games, and I'm just super excited for it.
Listen, it's great to be a tight end drafted by Ben Johnson, knowing what Ben Johnson does with tight ends.
Yeah, you're very happy. Like, you have a reason to be excited.
Yeah, like, how are you, tell me a better position than understanding that Ben Johnson was hired to make the offense go, and you were the first player he selected in the draft to help make the offense go.
Yeah, I think if, you know, if it's like maybe Jahad Campbell is just as happy playing behind that wrecking crew.
How could you not be?
But that's the point. There are certain systems where, you know, if you're the one who's taken, you're like, oh, this is great for me. Like, I'm going to focus on me for a minute. This is fantastic. He didn't strike me as that guy. I'm not saying he is the main character.
I got you.
Energy, but he should appreciate what's going on. Somebody who was on to this, when it comes to the Tyler Warren versus Colson Loveland battle, if you will, or showdown, or whatever you want to call it, we're going to be comparing these two now for a long time.
The rest of their just careers, you could argue.
That's what happens. These are what the decisions come down to. Our friend Nate Tice, who was on with us earlier this week, and did talk about why he likes Colson Loveland more than Tyler Warren.
The receiving ability is just so fluid for such a big build. He's a little bit younger. And also, when I broke him down and I got to compare them in a longer article, I expected Warren to be a better blocker right now. And maybe I had to project more for Loveland, you know, seeing that he's younger, he has longer arms, which, you know, typically means you can add a little bit of bulk to it and a bit of strength. That I came in and watched, you know, Michigan's offense, and I am watching Loveland be a better inline blocker. When I mean inline is what you think of a traditional tight end. You know, Mercedes Lewis is probably the ultimate example, a true Y inline tight end. So I think that ability, which I thought would be more of a projection, is more of a current strength of his game, which gets me excited. So he's younger than Warren. I think he has receiving ability that matches Warren. They just get to it in different ways. Maybe not as dynamic after the catch, but I think his catching range and his route running is very good. But on top of it, that he can do the real tight end stuff. You don't have to hide him. So I just think you can just do, there's the potential to do more with Warren or with Loveland than Warren, which is kind of ironic because of how they were used in college. Like that Warren's versatility actually makes him more of a limited fit for certain teams, while Loveland, I think, can match a lot of teams, including the Bears. I'm just that more versatility and plus versatility I'm excited about with Loveland.
It's also the way I envision it. This one person in particular is going to help utilize a part of the field that we have not seen the Bears use for years. When you're talking about splitting safeties, everything over the middle, that where we have seen just a dearth of production. You know, yeah. We saw a bit of it with Keenan Allen last year at times.
Hmm.
He's such a defined route runner that you knew exactly what you were going to get in that particular play. So in this case, I just really like the concept of knowing we have a guy for this part of the field. And now it's your job to do battle against who's facing you in a mismatch or a matchup.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the training camp to begin so that we can see, first off, just how healthy he is, how good he looks. And then, like, just can we just get past the preseason straight to the right? I mean, it's just, what? Preseason's one game now, right?
Don't you take away my summer away from me. You know, I think 75 is cold. Stop that.
You're the one who thinks I should have a hot boy summer. Like, that's...
You asked me the question, should I have a hot boy summer? And I said, yes, you've earned it. You had career-focused summer last year.
Did I, though? I took the summer off. If we're really,
but you
kind of
did, but you reap... I don't know. It's been a good year for you career-wise.
It's been a decent career. It's been a... I'm enjoying it.
You achieved all your goals early.
I did.
You know what that says to me?
What does it say?
Hot boy summer.
Oh, wow.
That's how that works.
Hot boy summer and a hot girl summer. Let's go.
No.
Let's go.
My last hot girl summer was before I was married. And even then, I was dating my ex-husband. So, no.
Sounds very not hot when you say it like that.
I liked him. We liked each other. It was fun.
That's cool. I hope I like someone again one day.
Yeah. A girl can dream.
So can a man. We can all dream.
We are happy, though, that the Bears chose Colson Loveland, or at least made a decision on a tight end. That was something that I'm like, oh, now I know how this offense looks. Well, isn't that nice? So much more to come. We have a lot of draft talk to get to before we get you ready for the Cubs and the Phillies. The show rolls on. Kevin Fishbane, Bears beat writer for The Athletic. He will join us next on The Midday Show. Marshall and Layla on The Score.